This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you missed hour number one, we talked about the tale of two 12s in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, to kick off the program. Chris Long will be joining us in about 20 minutes to discuss that. The Ravens' shocking loss in Jacksonville, as well as who he thinks the best team in the league is now through a dozen weeks. In the NFL, the Steelers and the Colts play tonight, yes, and I'll be on Westwood One Radio to host Monday Night Football tonight to discuss all of that. TJ Watt will be in studio, on our show in hour number three, those two teams are not in the conversation for best team in the league. Also, something to talk about with Chris Long was the Denver Broncos loss in Carolina. And,
dude,
I mean, the exchange, I mean, do you even call it an exchange that we saw yesterday?
It was kind of one-sided.
The conversation that was brief, one would think, on the Denver Broncos sideline, where Russell Wilson was absolutely getting it from Mike Purcell. We'll discuss that with Chris Long and then get a little bit deeper into it. The Vegas Raiders have won two in a row in walk-off fashion.
Just
I want to hit
that for like an hour.
Overreaction just Monday's coming up in like hour number hour. Three. Okay,
Rich, some breaking Michigan news. Our buddy Pete Thamel, Cade McNamara, is in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, he's been he had season-ending surgery is what they called it.
Yeah.
And J.J. McCarthy, this is his gig until he leaves.
No doubt.
So, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. We'll take your calls in a second. There are two playoff clinching scenarios for week 13.
Nice. Were you right?
I was correct in predicting our terrestrial radio audience didn't hear it at the end of our hour. Another reason why you should watch the show on the Roku channel is there's some bonus conversations that we have there. We're free on the Roku channel, on all Roku devices, Samsung Smart TVs and Amazon Fire TV and all Roku mobile, mobile device where you can get the Roku app. I said there are two playoff clinching scenarios, heard that, and I correctly predicted. One is a straight up wild card clinch a playoff spot for the team, the only team in the 10-win club right now, the Philadelphia Eagles. They have a playoff clinching scenario. You want to put that one up there, Mike Hoskins? There it is. All they got to do is beat the Titans and have the Washington Commanders, Seahawks, and 49ers lose.
Oh, all three lose.
They have to beat the Titans. What a big Week 13 game that is. The current one seed in the NFC against last year's one seed in the AFC. That game's in Philadelphia. Washington is playing the Giants for the first of two times. The 49ers, as we all know, are taking on the Miami Dolphins. And what was the other team that was involved in that equation?
Commanders.
The Commanders and the 49ers, and then there was one third one.
Seahawks.
Seahawks are at the Rams, which I can't believe it. It sounds like a get-right game.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the other playoff-clinching scenario is the Minnesota Vikings can clinch their division, print a home playoff ticket. All they got to do is beat the Jets at home and then have the Lions lose. Man, the Lions look so good. They were so close to getting that fourth straight win on Thanksgiving Day. The Detroit Lions are taking on Jacksonville at home. What an entertaining game that's probably going to be. So, Vikings can clinch a spot. All they got to do is beat the Jets and Mike White. Hey, I told you when Robert Saleh made the move to bench Zach Wilson and bring in Mike White that I was all for it, that if he thinks Zach Wilson needed a reset and that the locker room potentially needed to see somebody else and hear from somebody else in that leadership position and have that guy get an opportunity, if he thought that was the case, in Saleh we trust. And guess what? One for one. Green check mark. because Mike White got it done. Over 200 yards passing in the first half in a driving rain. How does that sound?
It was impressive.
In conditions that one would think would not be conducive to winging it around with Mike White getting his first start, he showed exactly how to do it. He found Garrett Wilson for two touchdowns and proof of life. I mean, like, when Elijah Moore scored that touchdown yesterday, I wanted somebody to hand him a newspaper so he could hold it up and prove that it was on this date and that he was alive.
On this date.
And Robert Saleh, that's a guy who another coach might have bungled that operation. And Elijah Moore wanted out, and he said, you'll just be out for this game against Denver, which they won, despite losing Breece Hall for the season.
He needed a reset.
And we'll get, he needed a reset. They needed a reset, and he's redeemed. Yeah. And Mike White is finding him in a way that the number two overall pick from last year either couldn't or wouldn't. I don't know. But guess what? I have to worry about that right now. I don't have to worry about that right now because Mike White showed how it is done and how this offense should be run and how the receivers could be found. He showed it. And whatever Zach Wilson was thinking underneath the hood of his rain gear, if he does get an opportunity again this year, and that's a big if right now, because one thing that the Vikings have issues doing, it's stopping to pass. Mac Jones had a rocking chair type night for much of the night on Thanksgiving night, hitting his back foot and finding his guy, which is exactly what Mike White just did. Okay. So check the box. Here's Robert Saleh after the game on Mike White lighting up the Bears in the driving rain in New Jersey.
He did a great job. You know, he didn't need to be anybody but Mike White. We didn't need to turn into the greatest show on turf. We just wanted him to play within himself and play efficient. I thought he did that.
3-15 and three touchdowns, though, is probably a little bit better than not the greatest show on turf. So, I mean, how do you, like, just what he was able to do, and also in the elements.
Especially in the elements. It was, like I said, he made the easy look easy, and that's I thought he did a really good job with that.
I just love the way it's perfect. He made the easy look easy because the other guy was making the easy look like it was, you know, algebra, like an algebraic equation,
more like trigonometry.
Trigonometry,
yeah, algebra was kind of. Okay.
I was more verbal than math.
Yeah, trig was
honestly. Yeah. One guy, what, 2 + 2 equaled 4 for the Jets yesterday. The other guy was like, you know, X plus Y equals, you know, the coefficient. So the easy looked easy. Yes, that's what we're talking about. The follow-up question should have been, if last week was dog-ish, what's this? You know what this is? It's the Instagram video of 1,000 golden retrievers just frolicking around. That's what that was.
Puppy.
You know, those Instagram accounts just on golden retrievers, which I may or may not follow.
Multiple.
2 + 2 = 4. It's kind of simple.
So, right? Garrett Wilson, 2 touchdowns. Hey, at least he had a good weekend on Sunday. And this is what he had. Because remember, he was the guy speaking the truth after last week's game. He was the Wilson that was it down and saying we need to be held accountable and we need to be trusted. Let's go. Go for it.
I definitely feel like it did. You know, I didn't mean any harm to anyone, you know, by saying it. And I don't think anyone took it that way, luckily, you know. So, you know, honestly, I feel like people was happy I said it. And like I said, you know, come back like this and play the way we did on offense this week. You know, that's what you want to do. This is what we should be doing.
That's right. Way to go, Garrett Wilson. I love this guy. This guy's a Jet. He's a Jet, and he's a winner, and he knows how to win, and he knows how to do it and lead. Way to go, Garrett Wilson. And as for Zach Wilson, you know, I hope he is sitting there. That's what I said last week. The Gordon Gekko, I don't know if you have that drop anywhere that you could find, Mike, because things can kind of get a little bit out of whack over there. But That was the message. The benching was the message.
Does this reset lead to a relocation now,
I had
Rich?
To move it, Rich.
That's the question. Does this reset lead to a relocation?
What do you mean a relocation? Zach Wilson to be relocated? No, there's no reason to do that. No.
No?
No. I mean, first of all, you can anyway. You're not going to cut him this year. You can't trade him.
I don't mean this year.
No,
but I just mean
I don't know. Let's see how it goes. Because as I, you know, the Gordon Gekko line that we had as the drop is, this is your wake-up call, pal. Go to work.
This is your wake-up call, pal. Go to work.
That's good. Thankfully, Mike White's timing was better than Mike Del Tufo's. Just thankfully.
Got a lot of movement.
It was pouring rain yesterday.
Tell him, Chris.
Okay.
Tell him.
So now next comes the Vikings, and Saleh can just keep playing the hot hand. Because I honestly, Zach, just sit there and watch. Mike White plays like this. And the Jets right now are, that was a big win. Because they're a game ahead of New England, which we all know swept them. They're a game ahead of the Chargers, who snatched victory from the jaws of defeat yesterday in Arizona. And those are the two teams that are close enough sniffing it. Problem for the Jets potentially is if the Ravens, Bengals, and Patriots are teams that they're battling for those final two spots. Because the Ravens, Bengals, and Patriots all have tie breaks over the Jets. Ravens won week one. Bengals beat the Jets in New Jersey. And then we all know what the Patriots did. And I'll just say this about the Patriots.
Still play the Bills twice.
Is that who the Patriots do, right?
Yeah.
That's including the week 13 Thursday. Yeah, how great is big is that game? So
I'm looking forward to it.
And well, you never know. Never know. I mean, we beat the Bills at home with Zach Wilson.
Punted against us in two games.
And when I say we, I was suited up for that game.
Of course.
So all I'll say is this. Mike White, you're already talking about should Zach be relocated.
That's just
and I'm
question.
Sure the that's New true. York fans burning up the 24/7, 365, longtime listener, first time caller, sports talk shows are all in on Mike White. I'm sure they are. So let's just jump in with both feet.
Let's do it.
If Mike White turns out to be the man, then we'll remember the time where New England completely discombobulated Zach Wilson to the point where they rendered him useless. In the same way that Mo Lewis once rendered Drew Bledsoe useless. And we all know what happened after that. So maybe, just maybe, these are the football gods evening the scales. And at the moment, you can't tell me any different.
Much less painful, though.
Next week, at this point, we might have a different conversation. Yes, Zach Wilson didn't have any of his innards blown up.
I mean, that's
good point, TJ.
It's not funny, but wow.
So maybe, just maybe, paying it forward years later. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, stay on hold. A great conversation with our friend Chris Long coming up. You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on the Odyssey app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. We'll take a break. So much to talk about with Chris Long. My gosh, so much happened just yesterday alone. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. 2008. 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. The host of the Greenlight Podcast, two-time Super Bowl champ, Chris Long. So much to talk about with him back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Christopher?
Rich, what's up, man? How are you?
All right, we are now post-Thanksgiving. This just in, can confirm. We are now 12 weeks into the NFL season. With all due respect to the Steelers and the Colts, it does appear that they're only going to be on the outside looking in. Your thought on the best team in the NFL through 12 weeks is?
It's the Chiefs. It's okay. The Chiefs. They're so good. They're nice about beating, my Wahoo brethren, Bryce Perkins. They took it easy on the Rams yesterday. But I still think they're the best team in the league, and it's because of that defense too. I mean, like they have a chance. People do these power rankings, yep. And I think they're kind of dumb, even though we just did one on our show.
You know what? I think they're dumb, too, and I'm a total really dumb. I'm a convert, though. I like doing it every week now. I can't believe
it's
I waited 8 years to do it.
You come in on Monday, you're like, it's nice to have your work done for you. You know, like, okay, I know I got to just do a power ranking. Like, what does that even mean? But you have a lot of power. If you're the one seed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're the one seed right now. And, you know, if the road to the Super Bowl goes through Arrowhead, even though the Bills went in there and beat them earlier this year, I think, it makes it hard. And so, like, I think the way that defense shows up there, the energy they play with, and obviously Patrick Mahomes is why I think they're the best team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes and Kelsey, that's going to be – a phrase we use, you know, like Brady and Gronk, you know, a phrase that we use like what Marino to Clayton or Marino to Duper, yep. or Manning, yep. to Harrison. Like, this is what we're watching right now. Mahomes to Kelsey. That's what we're watching unfold. Happened again.
No, it's incredible. And, you know, the moment last week in primetime, just kind of underscores that with the game on the line. It's just it's automatic. I talked about that. They're not just great, they're fun. They're like one of the most fun duos I've ever seen throwing and catching the ball. And they seem like they got a great rapport. So I think they're the best team in the league. I think the Eagles, I'll still give them a tie break over the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are a really good team. They're in my top five as well. But like, if the question pertains to what I saw from the Eagles last night, like, the Eagles' run defense concerns me. It does. I can't confidently say, hey, you're the best team in the league right now because you're not doing this thing. But what you do have is you have home field advantage right now. You just ran the ball for 300 yards on the Packers. You've blown out the Vikings. The resume, it's hard to find a team with a really deep, great resume. But I'll take the Eagles at face value, and I think they're one of the best teams in the league.
Well, I mean, just the way that they can run the football, the way that Jalen Hurts can run it and absolutely throw it, and now they last week, this is kind of what I said at the top of the program as well. Last week in Indianapolis, they pulled out one on the road that looked pretty bleak. Last night, yep. They took on a Packers team and watched the Packers come back on them, and then just kept running all over them. Hurts can throw it, and he can run it, and then there's others who can run it. That line up front is dynamite. So I'm with you on the Eagles front as the best team in the NFC. The Niners just keep on yelling at me.
The Niners, you know, are great, Rich. I mean, like, the Niners, the January version of the Niners is scary, and in January they might be the best team in the NFC. You know, I want to see them do this a little bit more consistently. They got a great test coming up this week, right? They play the Dolphins at home. Dolphins don't have Teron Armstead. They're one of the hottest teams in football. They're probably the hottest team in football, but the question's been like, hey, I want to see you play a really good defense. Well, here you have it. And I know they played good defenses. They've beaten the Bills. They've beaten the Ravens, albeit these teams were in different spots than they are now. But, like, this is going to be a great test this weekend. And, like, if you're looking at the top 5 to 7 teams in the league, you're going to know a lot more about these two teams, the Niners and the Dolphins, after this weekend. So I still have the Bills up there for me, Rich. I think the Bills are top 3 team in the league. I don't care what they've looked like the last month, because that team that throttled the Titans, the team that did everything they did to beat the Chiefs. You know, they weren't healthy, but they did a good job against Miami defensively. I still think that team's in there. So I trust them. I'll buy them low with the way Josh is playing. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, power rankings just broke out.
Chris Long right here on the Rich Eisen Show here on a busy Monday, week 12 in the NFL, concluding tonight with the Colts and the Steelers. So let's talk about the 2-12s here, because the narratives are beginning to be etched in stone, certainly for Aaron Rodgers, now 4-8. He says that he still is up for playing because they're not mathematically eliminated. Broken thumb. He said he had trouble breathing a little bit last night. And I know the way that this world works, man. I know the way that this industry works. To me, one of the biggest overreactions on this Monday, and I don't know if my colleague Chris Brockman's going to include it in his yet, because we haven't done it yet.
You can bet your ass I will,
okay,
Rich.
Is that the way that Jordan Love threw it around last night when Rodgers went out shows you it's time to turn the page there in Green Bay? Your thoughts on that subject matter, Chris?
Well, I mean, listen, I thought before the trade deadline, I think Aaron Rodgers is still great, right? Like the first half of that game before, you know, whatever it was with the rib or the lung, with the broken thumb. And, you know, when a guy says like, hey, my thumb's broken, like he's going to go out and torch the team. Right, because you're not going to tell people your thumb's broken when it's hurting the worst, right? So I wasn't surprised that he continued to look good. I mean, there was a little dip in play over the last couple weeks, but this year he's put the ball on target. There just hadn't been a lot of separation. Like, he's made mistakes, sure, but he's still Aaron Rodgers. And, like, if you don't believe me, let him hit the trade market this offseason. You know, look at the haul that you would get for somebody like that. And, you know, at the deadline, I was saying, hey, maybe it's time to move on because the guy still got it, but it's just not working. Like, you can just feel like it's not working. You know, they had such a great team last year. They go, you know, they have San Francisco at home. They can't beat them. If you told me, and I know it's snowing and everything, but it's you know, all you got to do is score like 17 points to beat the Niners. You can't do that. You know, this year it hasn't worked out. Christian Watson looks like he's going to be a lot of fun in the future. Mm-hmm. Romeo Dobbs looks like he's going to be a lot of fun in the future, and he's hurt right now. You know, your run game's pretty solid, right? But I just don't know, man. It might be time to get out, and it might not matter what Jordan Love looks like. And I didn't see enough about Jordan, you know, Jordan Love last night to really feel great, you know? Like, it's just Eagles in soft coverage.
Right.
You know, it's one drive. But, hey, if all you got to do is run Christian Watson across the field –
that's right.
And he's got to outrun some poor guy who's at a standstill watching that big SOB, you know, running sideways across the zone, or you got to pick him up. And, man, like, if we feel good about our weapons and we feel good about Jordan Love to the point where, like, we can move Aaron Rodgers, I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world. Well, I think Aaron Rodgers would go for a haul, right? And you could kind of reset with a quarterback if you like him enough.
And then there's what 12 in Tampa's thinking today. I keep on asking you this, it seems like every 3 weeks, but yesterday it was the first loss in his career in which he led by 7 with 2 and change to go. He's never had a loss like the one that he and the Bucs just suffered in Cleveland, Ohio. And then, you know, to be taken off the field 4th and 2 from the Cleveland 37 and being told, yeah, take a delay of game so we could punt it better. I sat there, I'm shaking my head, and I'm a big Todd Bowles fan, man. I rooted for him for the Jets. I just saw him in Munich. I love just his demeanor where you don't know if you're winning, you're losing, and I think that's a winning demeanor for a coach or a manager in baseball. But it's just sometimes you feel like the next risk he takes is going to be his first. And you got Tom Brady. Like, what are you doing? And yeah, I'm wondering what Brady's thinking off of all that.
I don't know. It'd be hard to retire after a year like this, wouldn't it?
I think. I mean, you wouldn't want to go out like this. But the like this, still, he's leading the division, right? I mean,
no, I know.
He's leading the division. And he may have a home playoff game against the Cowboys. You know, and
which there's no chance that they win a playoff game at home or on the road if they don't have Tristan Wirfs. And I hear he's going to be back for the playoffs and that sort of thing. But you know, I thought yesterday it was interesting. I mean, like, what was a bigger deal, losing that game or potentially losing Tristan Wirfs? I think it was potentially losing Tristan Wirfs. You know, Myles Garrett single-handedly kind of won that game for them late, whether it was backed up, forcing a punt, you know, like they're rushing three, I think it was, and he still won. It allowed for that Circus Njoku catch, which was just brutal, especially if you had the Bucs. It was brutal. And then you get into overtime, and you know, Brady's got chances late in this game. I mean, whether it was in the second half, missing Godwin in plus territory on a chunk play that would have put them at, like, the 30. They're up 7 at that point. Like, that'll do. 20-10 will do, right? But you miss that throw. You know, him and Evans were a little bit off. So I think everybody shares a little bit of the blame. Like, but you get into overtime, and you got a chance again to get in the field goal range and kick. And, you know, Brady's doing a Brett Favre thing. He's flipping the ball straight ahead. That play gets moved back because of Donovan Smith, hands to the face on Myles Garrett, so he's disruptive there. Then it's 3rd and 14. He gets sacked there. They're trying to chip him. Like, you can't run the ball. Rashard White goes for 30 yards on one run in the first quarter. He's got 40-something yards in the first quarter. And then the rest of the game, look at his carries and the yardage. Like, it was under 10 yards a quarter. I don't think he topped 10 yards. Third quarter he had 11 yards on 4 carries. But they can't run the ball. Right, they can't protect Brady, so you can't close games out when you have a lead. And good luck if you're down. So I don't know, man. Like, that defense can only be so good. It's ugly.
So you think that? Well, I guess again, there's still so much time to go here.
Rich.
There really is so much time to go.
No, my answer's no.
He can't retire off of something like this, is what you're saying.
No, he can't. No, he can't retire off something like this. And it's funny when we do this every week, and like, I got to do this on my show every week, and like, you know, we come back to it every Sunday. It's like, okay, do we count Rodgers out? Do we count Brady out? And I know that mathematically, because they're not eliminated, we're going to be asking this question all year with Brady. But I'll give you the same answer. Like, I'm counting the Bucs out. Like, they just there's too many deficiencies. You know, you want to ask me if they can win a playoff game? Maybe, but you can't tell me that they're gonna go on a 3-4 game run in January with the horses they've got. You know, like, they can't run the ball. They can't protect this guy. You know. It's tough, man. It's tough to watch. It's the Browns, man.
Chris Long here.
Look what the Dolphins just made the Browns look like.
And I hear you. And the Dolphins are one of those teams that nobody really mentions, because I guess why? They feel that Tua is not a long-term threat, a playoff threat, that, you know, weather threat. I mean, let's talk a little bit about the Dolphins here. Yeah. I mean, you know, and if we wouldn't mind, Mr. Hoskins, put their schedule up, because we've been talking about this for a while on this program. Because I called Tua elite a month ago. The way that he's playing, he is an elite quarterback in the NFL this year. Like, truly up there with the Mahomeses and Allens and anyone else that you consider elite. But we were always saying the last 6 games of the year is when the rubber will meet the road. 3 games in a row now, at San Francisco, at the Chargers, at Buffalo, home for Green Bay on Christmas, then at the Patriots, home for the Jets. What do you think of the Dolphins' shots right now? They're 8-3, sitting right there, number 2 in the AFC going into week 13. Chris?
Well, they've won every game that Tua started. You know, I think the Cincy game probably would have gone south. They didn't look real sharp that night, but he got hurt. We just did our power rankings. I had him at like 6, you know, the almighty power rankings. And, you know, one of the things that concerns me about them, and they play without Armstead, is they got to go to San Francisco this week. As you mentioned, this 3-game road trip, it's going to be really challenging for them. And, you know, they're going to be down Armstead. They're going to have to deal with that defense. This is going to be – I'm really excited to see – it's been a while. Like, they stood tall when they played the Bills. Now, Bills were banged up. They beat the Bills. They came back against the Ravens. So they've beaten good teams so far this year. It's just been a while, you know. And I can't wait to see a matchup where Tua, who's played excellent, has an opportunity to prove, you know, who he is against like a group full of Fred Warners and Nick Bosa's and Like, it's just, this is going to be a different challenge. I'll give it to them. They've been covering every week. these enormous lines, and they've covered every week, and they're so fun to watch. That offense is so fun to watch. But this stretch is going to define them, you know, make no mistake about it. If they can come out of this stretch unscathed, then as a team, I can talk about them like I talk about the Chiefs, or like I talk about the Eagles, or like I talk about the Bills. And I know the Bills have not played as well as the Dolphins. I know they haven't played as well as the Dolphins. But I really do believe the ceiling of a Bills team is higher. And we'll look at that, you know, when they play again in December. I think the Dolphins are great. I can't wait for this weekend.
And then last one for you here, Chris Long, is your concern level on the Ravens right now, sitting there at 7-4. They just lost in Jacksonville, clearly the best game of Trevor Lawrence's young career. And then not just the way they lost, but the tweet that Lamar sent out that was definitely not safe for work, responding to somebody who criticized him on Twitter. What's your concern level about the Baltimore Ravens right now on all fronts?
I think the Ravens are a really good team. Like, they've had a lead, and they've had a possession or more than one possession lead, I think, in all their games, which I've read it three times, and I want to go back after this interview to make sure that I'm not butchering that. It's just so hard to believe. And of all the teams that have ever been like that through this, you know, through this span, like, their record's the worst one by far. Because they've blown them. And, you know, like when you blow leads, when you don't score in the red zone, they were 1-4 last week in the red zone against the Panthers. You're kind of like, they'll figure it out this week. I mean, like, here's what I'm worried about with the Ravens. When you're on the road and you have a chance to put a team like that away, right, it kind of comes back to letting teams back in the game. You kick two field goals the first two scoring drives. Well, you had a drop in the end zone in the second one. You overthrow a touchdown in the first one. And the first one, and I love Lamar, but like that's a ball that he's got to hit. He knows he's got to hit. He hasn't had the best year by his standards, especially in big spots. If you hit that ball on the road and you go up 7-0 and you're driving the next possession, you go up 14-0, like how different does that game feel? Even with how many leads you've blown, you know, you're staring at Trevor Lawrence on the other sideline, who had a great game yesterday in the second half, especially. You got to put teams away, man. And when you get in the red zone, like I think it is a lack of talent. I mean, yeah, you could say, well, they got Mark Andrews, and you got a running quarterback, and you got a tight end in the red zone. Like that sounds great, right? That's cliche red zone stuff. But who are the other guys, man? And we were just talking about this on our show. Like they haven't made a move, you know. DeSean Jackson is not somebody to me that's going to move the needle in a huge way at this stage in his career. I know he caught a beautiful throw yesterday from Lamar. That was just an absolute rocket. But when you get in the red zone, it's not working. And yesterday we saw more of the same. You can't close teams out. You can't win your 4-point plays down there in the red area. That's a tough one, man. I actually ranked the Bengals ahead of them just because Joe Burrow is playing better. And you know, I had concerns about the Bengals and their physicality coming into the year. They won a physical game yesterday. They beat the Titans at their game. You know, they were down Mixon. They were down Chase. They ran the ball. They stopped the run. All their safeties, all their corners, they are all willing participants in the run game. You know, and when you play complete complementary football like that, it just looks less disjointed. The Ravens look kind of disjointed. And they got an easy schedule the rest of the way, so they could cruise. But they've proven that, you know, like whether it's the Panthers game or the Jags game, there's nothing easy about the Ravens right now.
I lied. I have one last thing for you, Chris Long. Actually, there's two. Screw it. Because we talked so much about Zach Wilson last week. Robert Saleh pushed that button on Mike White. He's earned the right to start for a while, don't you think? I mean, even if they go to Minnesota and lose that game and struggle on offense, he's shown it. He's shown how it can work.
I think it's a hot hand offense now. I think Saleh is just – I totally support what he did. Listen, this is not the end of Zach Wilson. I think he's being honest when he says, like, this kid's got a lot of talent. I think everybody knows that. He's played awful. And I don't think people's leashes should be, you know, exponentially longer because you are a draft pick, but that's the reality of the situation. And I think now it's a hot hand type of thing. I think it's, hey, if Mike White's playing well, you keep Mike White in. If Mike White has a bad game, okay. If he has two bad games in a row, maybe it's Flacco. Maybe it's Zach Wilson. You have kind of burnt the ships on conventional, like, this is our quarterback going in the playoffs. You know, this is a team in a really unique position. You know, to be this stacked defensively, although, you know, Getsy, when Simeon was on script yesterday, it was terrifying. The first 15 plays of the game?
Yeah.
It was scary as hell, wasn't it, Rich? I mean, like...
Well, yeah, the Jets' defense was on its heels, and I thought like it was going to be one of those days, but with the rain coming down, certainly when Greg Zuerlein was trying a game-tying field goal and the ball can't even be placed in front of him, and then it's dipsy-doo, and, you know, it was like NFL Films Follies broke out. I'm like, oh, it's one of those days. But Mike White was terrific. He was on time, he was on schedule, and he was terrific. He was exactly what they want in this offense. And Elijah Moore, we saw proof of life. You know, like there was it existed. And that's why I sat there and thought, well, hopefully Zach Wilson is sitting there taking mental notes if he is, in fact, going to be the guy again. Because if Mike White plays like this, Zach Wilson's not the guy again. It's that simple.
And when I say Zach Wilson's career is not over, I don't know that it's going to be here. He's going to get another shot or anything. But I really do think this team, I saw some people saying, oh, you're not helping Zach Wilson's development. Like, you know, people can't come back from that. Well, hey, dude, when I was a second-year player, I got benched. Okay, I was a high draft pick, got benched. Bench for a defensive end is different, though, because you just basically don't run out of the tunnel, and we're still taking 40, 50 snaps a game in a rotation. But the bottom line is, like, I was able to kind of figure it out and, you know, the next 4 years turn my career around. This kid can do that. Like, it's not impossible. But for this football team right now, his mental struggles are irrelevant, right? And I also thought he did a really good job. I kind of killed him last week, right? Because it pissed me off as a defensive player. But, you know, he got up there, he stood tall during the week. It's not like, you know, it's an irredeemable mistake. But what it is a mistake coupled with the play on the field. Because that's the bottom line. It's like when you look at the numbers, he's been really bad. That hinders this team's chances of making a run. And they're really good. They're really good in a lot of areas, and you don't waste windows, man. Like, I don't care if the window just opened or if you're on the tail end of it. You owe it to the other players to play the best quarterback, and that includes Joe Flacco if it's Joe Flacco. So I think Robert Saleh did the right thing in going to somebody else, and Mike White carved up the Bears. That's great. Let's not get out over our skis. Like, you know, if this happens for a couple weeks, he's your guy. But I don't think it's solidified that, like, hey, it's going to be Mike White every game this year. I do think they have an open mind.
Last one for you, Chris, if you want to make it a quick hitter, because I know we've been talking a while here. Mike Purcell, the defensive tackle of the Broncos, clearly was barking at Russell Wilson. It was either the most demonstrative let's go or something completely revealing, you know. Yeah, it was definitely not let's ride, okay? You want to interpret that for me? You've been on the field, you've been part of this stuff where it looks like somebody's angry but it isn't. You want to what's your take on that? He was mad.
You know, it's like body language. You see it. We saw it last week with Zach Wilson and his receivers going palms up when he's missing throws. Like, that frustration at Russell Wilson's real. Like, I don't know what it was exactly, but you're not yelling at a guy if the elephant in the room isn't there. And, like, the elephant in the room is there in Denver. Like, you can't tell me it's not. These guys, like, it's all we're talking about. Don't you think they're talking about it? Like, we just got beat by Sam Darnold. You know? Sam Darnold, who I – listen – I'm happy for him. He threw some nice balls yesterday. But and I know Steve Wilks at 3-0 at home, and that should be the story and the whole thing, but I've never seen anything like it. And this is not like – one thing that's interesting, Rich, is when it comes to the Broncos, like, are we holding this against Russ's legacy, like, as a player? Because that kind of sucks. You know, it's not like Joe Montana going to play for, like, the Chiefs. This is like a 7-year commitment. So there's no escape. So what is it going to look like for Russell Wilson, the player, like when we evaluate him and all the great years he's had, if the second half of his career looks like this, when he said, hey, I want to play into my 40s, like I'm not washed, I'm not old, like this is me. So it's crazy. I don't know what to make of it.
All right, brother. Great chat, as always. Who's on your pod this week? What do you got for me?
Seat of our pants week, Rich. No idea.
Okay. Fantastic. Can't wait.
I took the Thanksgiving break a little too literally, and you took a break all the way through the weekend. Haven't gotten prepared. So
excellent.
Appreciate you.
When I see it, I'll retweet it then. Chris Long, Green Light Podcast, where all podcasts can be acquired right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First.
Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
The World Tournament of Soccer happening in Qatar is finally here, and with all the weird kickoff times and all the other sports happening simultaneously, it can be kind of hard to keep up. So to make sure you're up to speed, be sure to listen to Qatar Kick Around for the daily wrap-up of all the action from the tournament. From the group stage all the way to the final, Andy, Lars, and Peter are here for you with recaps and opinions of what happened that day in Qatar. Everything can be found at thekickaround.com, the Cumulus podcast channel on YouTube, or wherever you listen.
Shravan in Washington, D.C., you're here on The Rich Eisen Show. What's up, sir? Been hanging on for a while. What's going on?
How you doing, sir? Congratulations. You had a very great sports weekend.
Oh, I did.
Jets with Mike White,
yes,
doing what they did against Chicago.
But that compares not to the other result at all.
Yeah, I was about to say, there was some, I don't know if you know this, but there was an incident in Columbus that hasn't happened since Drew Henson and David Terrell. Can you tell me about that?
Well, here, that was the year 2000, but Michigan had the most points that they've scored in Columbus since 1976.
Oh, yeah.
It was their largest margin of victory since 1946, and first time Michigan's ever put up 40 points in back-to-back games in the history of the series. That had never happened before.
Yeah, I was about to say. No wonder you sound so happy. But, Rich, I do want to call because earlier this year I called in to thank you for trolling Ohio State at the dinner, which helped me get a big article published.
Okay.
And also what you did when I suggested that if Michigan were to beat Ohio State,
yes,
you come in with all Michigan attire, and then when the show starts, you just simply say go blue. So I just like to ask, the moment that the final – whistle sounded and you saw Michigan had beaten Ohio State, what was the first thing you did? Did you just call Albert Breer to troll him because
No. I actually waited for him to start melting down, and that actually happened within 2 minutes. And then to preview the rest of it, I started watching Chernobyl on HBO Max. It was great. Thanks for the call, Shravan. Could set my watch to Albert Breer melting down. It's fantastic. So look, if you're new to this show, where you been? If you watch us every day, a take that I was all in on back in March, all the way to the playing season, and then even through the first month of the season when they didn't win a game for the first three games. Me saying the Raiders would win the AFC West this year, a worst take I've had football-wise in the history of this show, I think. And when the Raiders lost yet another double-digit lead and then game in Jacksonville to fall to 2-7. Mike, I had you pull this soundbite from Goodfellas.
No, I've got to turn my back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with the sizzling in the background and everything, my hot take, sizzling in the background. So now I got to turn my back on you.
It's great.
But then they went ahead and won in Denver. In overtime on a walk-off touchdown, Davante Adams. And then yesterday, after Derek Carr's first pass of the game was intercepted, and then he took one directly in the chops, and I thought he was done for the day. And he comes back in, and Josh Jacobs, my goodness, Josh Jacobs with 303 yards of offense himself yesterday.
Whew.
229 on the ground, 74 in the air. He had more yards on offense in total on Sunday in Seattle than seven NFL teams. Six. Giants, Bears, Saints, Broncos, Texans, Rams all had fewer total yards on offense in Week 12 than Josh Jacobs personally.
Wow.
Max Crosby, grown-ass man. Chandler Jones bagged himself. Geno Smith also with a huge fumble recovery. But Max Crosby in overtime on 3rd-and-1 got all over Geno Smith, forced a punt that led to a snap of the football for the Raiders, and Josh Jacobs went right home from there and wrapped up the game on the spot. Another walk-off win. It's caused me to ask Mike Del Tufo to play another drop from another famous film involving some people who might not be on the up and up.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
They're 4-7. The autumn wind might just be a pirate after all. If it was possible to do a John Facenda imitation, go higher register, I would. Maybe, just maybe, the Raiders can actually make the playoffs. Who knows? This is the Raiders team I was talking about. Max Crosby, Davante Adams, Chandler Jones, Derek Carr, and then Josh Jacobs. OMG. Come on, Raiders.